Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another installment of Morning Reload. From very high above, all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. By now you've heard that over the weekend, Hamas militants backed by Iran fired thousands of rockets into Israel. Breitbart News is reporting that that number is in excess of 4,400. Hundreds of people are dead and thousands are injured. Hamas militants have kidnapped numerous Israeli citizens and citizens from around the world, including some Americans. There are pictures of torture of those that were kidnapped all over social media. It's difficult to determine if those pictures are legitimate. But we're dealing with Hamas terrorists, so more than likely they're totally legitimate. Israel, as they absolutely should have, has declared war on Hamas. Frankly, in my opinion, they should have done it a lot sooner. Rockets being fired into Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or all of Israel, for that matter, is nothing new. In fact, it happens all the time. The reason why you don't hear about it all that often is usually Israel's Iron Dome system takes care of it. But in this case, there were over 900 missiles fired almost at the exact same time. It was overwhelming force. The difference in this situation is not just the number, or that they were fired almost simultaneously, or even that Hamas is backed by Iran. Almost everybody knows that. The big difference here is that we may have paid for the whole thing. Oh, not directly, but the Biden administration released $6 billion to the terrorist-sponsoring nation of Iran. Ray Charles could have seen what they were going to do with it. It's absolutely despicable. Well, where it sits right now is Israel has completely blockaded the Gaza Strip. The defense minister has said that they're going to allow no food, no water, and no electricity in. Though Israel pretty much has control of the entire Gaza territory, they're still fighting some pro-Palestinian forces in some border towns. A quick perusal of American media will show you one of two things. It's either pro-Palestinian groups are fighting for freedom against the oppression of the Israelis, or Palestinian militants have committed an unspeakable act of terrorism, and Israel is responding accordingly. It's pretty easy to determine which one is the truth. Israel is constantly attacked by Iranian-backed militants, Hamas or Hezbollah, and until now, they really haven't responded with any measure of force. Though, like I said, in my opinion, this has been a long time coming. This act of war against the nation of Israel needs to be dealt with accordingly, either with the Israeli military or, if these terrorists can be captured, they need to be tried and brought to justice and given the punishment that they absolutely deserve. Those who sponsored this whole thing, the nation of Iran, also need to be held accountable. As for us, we should support the nation of Israel, militarily, financially, or any other way that we possibly can. Instead of shoveling cash by the truckloads into that ridiculous Ukrainian war, maybe we should just divert all of that money to Israel and end this thing as quickly as possible. But for all of us, the best thing we can do for Israel is pray. Let's get a quick word in from today's sponsors, and then I'll tell you what happened at the launch party on Saturday. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Rebecca Bextel from Compass Real Estate. If you're thinking about selling your property, or if you're in the market to buy another piece of property, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextel. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. Last year, she sold in excess of $25 million worth of property. So if you're looking to buy or sell, the first call that you should make is to Rebecca. Again, her phone number is 307-699-3519. This morning's broadcast is also brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for any type of metal structure on your property, the two people you should call first are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They're the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So if you're looking to build any sort of building on your property, call Nick or Jesse. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Okay, back to the program. The Independence Network launch party is in the books. It was a fantastic show. Before any event that I'm putting on, I always get a little bit nervous about how many people are actually going to show up, and I was pleasantly surprised with our launch party. We were near capacity, and at one point, we had the discussion of if we were going to cut ticket sales off at the door. We sold a lot of tickets in advance, and we even sold some at the door, so it was a fantastic event that was well attended. All of our network guests did a fantastic job, including my own, Ovi Muntean, who, if you're a longtime listener on the program, you'll remember him from a couple of shows we did. He emigrated to the United States from Romania. And my other guest was a guy named Peter Vedenka. Recently, he was a guest on Cowboy State Politics and told us all about his escape from communist Czechoslovakia. Later on this week, I'll play my segment from the launch party so you can hear exactly what those two gentlemen had to say. It was a fantastic conversation. A couple of other network notes before we get back to Morning Reload. Starting on Wednesday on the Independence Network, we're going to start replaying the entire launch party so you can listen to everything that happened. And then on Thursday, beginning at 8 a.m., we'll begin our live broadcast schedule. It'll start at 8 a.m., and we'll probably have a couple of things in the morning. And then at 9, my friends, Cowboy State Politics Live, all the way up until 11. And then from 11 to 1, we'll have Just Blame Joey. And then at 1 o'clock, the Ramble Room with Representative Ken Pendergraft. It's going to be an incredible first broadcast day on the Independence Network, and you can hear it all at the website independencenetwork.us. So it's Columbus Day, and even though all of the anti-Columbus Day radicals are being overshadowed by the war in Israel, you can still find articles about how illegitimate Columbus's statues are that stand everywhere in this country. Just one, for example, was posted on U.S. News and World Report this morning. It's entitled, "Why is Indigenous Peoples Day Replacing Columbus Day?" And I quote, "For many indigenous peoples, Columbus Day is a controversial holiday. This is because Columbus is viewed not as a discoverer, but rather as a colonizer. His arrival led to the forceful taking of land and set the stage for widespread death and the loss of indigenous ways of life." End quote. Barf. Now, this article by a lady named Susan Faircloth, who's a professor of education at Colorado State University, doesn't come out and say that Columbus was responsible for all this death and destruction, because that would be a lie. But it does, however, lead you to believe that that is what happened. Listen to this last sentence of her introduction, for example. Quote, "His arrival led to the forceful taking of land and set the stage for widespread blah, 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 blah." Now, any honest journalist, or college professor for that matter, would correct the record right there. But, of course, Susan Faircloth doesn't. In any case, as is tradition on the program, whenever it is convenient to correct the historical record about one of our holidays, I take advantage of it. No doubt, Susan Faircloth, professor of education at Colorado State University, is an acolyte of one of my nemeses, Howard Zinn. Now, of course, Howard Zinn is the author of the despicable book, A People's History of the United States. Blech! As I am a fan of never recreating the wheel, here's a piece of the program I did last year on Columbus Day explaining this whole situation. Here you go. Much of this historical fabrication, I mean sociology, can be traced to a little book that is present in almost every single school in America and is probably required reading in many Wyoming high schools, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. Howard Zinn was really not a historian. He was a political scientist. Oh yeah, and he was a member of the Communist Party USA. In his own autobiography, he describes himself as, quote, something of an anarchist, something of a socialist, maybe a democratic socialist. His book, A People's History of the United States, is chocked full of half-truths, historical distortions, and it's written entirely from the perspective of class struggle. In fact, he pretty much claims that entire human history is one of class struggle. Had they been alive at the same time, I'm sure that Howard Zinn would have sought out Karl Marx and asked him to be his roommate. So why do I bring all of this up? Well, it's Columbus Day. And as we all know, we have to destroy every statue of Christopher Columbus. You know, it's only by destroying history that we can rectify the horrible events of the past. In an article from Front Page Magazine entitled Destroy Columbus Day, Destroy America, The Left's Lust for History to Change the Future, author Thom Nichols writes this morning, and I quote, "The self-righteous fury with which American Marxists destroyed Columbus statues in 2020 traces its origins to Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, a book stocked with half-truths and historical distortions where Columbus is concerned. When demonstrators arrived at Marconi Plaza in South Philadelphia to protest a 20-foot-tall statue, or perhaps to topple it with ropes, neighborhood groups came out to defend it, some armed with bats and guns. The legacy media in Philadelphia quickly jumped on the neighborhood groups and branded them as racists. It was a telling moment for the city. The Marconi Plaza Columbus statue is the work of Italian sculptor Emanuele Caroni. It was originally made for the 1876 Centennial Exposition in the city's Fairmont Park section, where it stood outside the U.S. government building. Dedicated on October 12th of 1876, the statue was viewed by thousands of visitors to the centennial, including poet Walt Whitman. Although Columbus Day is technically a federal holiday, since 2020, 130 cities in the United States have chucked the name for Indigenous Peoples Day. The trend was already in high gear in 2017 when Time magazine reported that 55 cities had eliminated all references to Columbus Day, thanks mostly to Zinn, who died in 2010, and his devious history. It was Zinn, after all, who said, quote, "History is not about understanding the past, but about changing the future," end quote. His little book is now required reading in many schools and colleges, despite numerous challenges to its credibility from, of all people, left-wing historians. It was Zinn who called the United States a, quote, "racist criminal enterprise built on murdering Indians, exploiting slaves, and opposing the working man," end quote. Ronald Radosh is professor emeritus of history at City University in New York. On January 16th of 2020, he wrote an article for Law and Liberty entitled Howard Zinn, Fake Historian. Quote, "According to Zinn, America was founded in sin. Christopher Columbus was guilty of genocide against the native population already living in America. Zinn's charges are a shocking tale of severed hands, raped women, and gentle enslaved people worked to death to slake the white Europeans' lust for gold. Any of that sound familiar?" Well, the truth couldn't be farther from what Zinn says. If you go back to the original sources, you know, journals from the people that were there with Columbus, you might find out that when he first stepped off his boat and arrived in Hispaniola, according to Nichols, journals of the people that were with Columbus said, quote, "When he stepped off of his boat, he announced to the natives that the monarchs of Castile have sent us not to subjugate you, but to teach you the true religion," end quote. Neither is there a mention of the 1502 letter Columbus wrote to Pope Alexander VI, in which he asked that missionaries be sent to the New World so they could accept Christ. And if you keep reading Howard Zinn, you will also never know that Columbus had a rigorous policy that his crew exchange gifts with the natives they met and not just steal what they wanted. You'd also be ignorant of the fact that Columbus's policy was so unbending that on the explorer's third voyage in 1500, he hanged men who disobeyed him by harming the native people. The truth is, as Nichols points out, Howard Zinn mentioning Christ is as impossibly out there as the prospect of President Biden mentioning an article by the Freedom Center's Robert Spencer. All of this means that Columbus's real sin, from a woke point of view, of course, is his promulgation of Christianity, and we certainly can't have that. So this Columbus Day, when you see all of these articles on fake news that claim that we have to remove every Christopher Columbus statue to pay for his sins, you all know that it's bullcrap, and you know where it comes from. History is neither good nor bad. It just is. The truth about America is that we did some really, really bad things. But we've also done some really, really good things. The Constitution isn't racist. It guarantees rights to everyone, even though it was written by some guys that owned slaves. Judging history by the present is perhaps one of the largest cardinal sins in all of education, because it leads you to misunderstanding the events of the past. And if that happens, you'll repeat the same mistakes that were made before. Toppling a statue doesn't erase the past, nor does it correct anything that was wrong in the past. It merely puts a mask over it. And in the case of Columbus, you'd be completely wrong to do so. That'll do it for this Columbus Day. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboys State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, happy Columbus Day. I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.